Today on the AV Podcast, we continue on with part two of the 2018-2019 very early NBA season rundown. My guest, Jan Michael Nation, is here as we share our early season NBA awards, pick out our all-NBA teams that almost destroyed our friendship, and provide our top three nominees for Team Trainwreck, plus much more. Once again, this was recorded on December 6th. This was before Kyle Lowry continued his shooting slump, though it's early and you'll eventually break out of it at some point. And this was also before the Chicago Bulls threw their late bid at being in our Trainwreck category. They tried to bribe us with deep dish pizza and some Bo Jackson White Sox jerseys, but we held strong and we told them no. The bids were already submitted, so, you know, we may have to actually revisit this for another time. This whole train wreck thing, this might have to be its own podcast, but, you know, we'll get to that later. South Shore App is available wherever you listen to your podcasts. You can listen and subscribe to Apple Podcasts, Google Play, Stitcher, and Spotify. All right, so make sure you check that out. Rate the shows as well. And if you want to listen to my entire catalog of podcast shows, make sure you subscribe to SouthShoreAv.com. Once again, that's SouthShoreAv.com. It's the AV Podcast with Cal C on South Shore AV Radio. Let's do it.
Welcome to the AV Podcast with Cal C on South Shore AV Radio.
All right, so what we'll do here is we'll get into our very early NBA season awards for the first trimester. So we'll start it off with, ranking the awards, sixth man, defensive player of the year, and most improved, all the way down to MVP. And then I'll shout out Luigi here for this, who's a listener to the podcast, regular listener. We're going to go through our top three train wreck teams of the NBA season so far. But before we get to that, let's go through our awards. So first off, who do you have for your sixth man of the year so far?
That's a kind of a toss up. I like the way Dennis Schroeder has been playing.
Yeah, actually, yeah.
With OKC, he comes off the bench, and then they keep all of them together. So they put Russell Westbrook at the two, and Paul George at the three, and I was just like, wow. And it's just like there's no drop off, and they all play well together. Mm-hmm. Surprisingly, when Westbrook got hurt and he did put him in the starting lineup, wow, I was just impressed. He's hitting his outside threes. Mm-hmm. He's getting into the paint. He's facilitating. He's more of a real point guard than Russell Westbrook is. It's kind of weird.
Absolutely.
Right. Absolutely. So he has a good pulse of the team when he comes on.
And he got rid of the Kwame hairstyle. The gold patch isn't there.
It's there in flashes. I saw the earlier season. I think recently got rid of it.
He got rid of
it. I can see if I've been ripping on him.
Yeah, the rhythm. No, it's not Kwame anymore. you know what's funny though with Schroeder? I actually thought that was a good move for OKC because in previous podcasts, especially after the playoffs happened and OKC got eliminated in the first round, I spent about a good 20 minutes ripping the hell out of Westbrook because I was like, until they get a point guard, to me, I was like, I thought for sure they should have been going after somebody like a Rondo. I think Rondo would have been perfect for that team.
Yeah, coming off the bench.
Yeah, he would have been beautiful for that team. But I'm like, but you know what? If they can get Schroeder, I'm okay with that too. Because, as you said,
but Schroeder is like an upgrade. He's younger. He can score from the perimeter. Yeah. He's not afraid to take those shots.
Right.
Rondo's more of a playmaker with the assists, and I think Schroeder's a better defender at this stage of the game.
Yeah, and I think too. Like I've always liked Schroeder. Like I know I respect him for what he is. Like he's not a superstar. He's not an all-star guard, but he could be a very steady player.
And even, especially on a contender, he could be a great complimentary player.
You know, he's had some playoff chops. Like he's had his rep. He's been through some series with Atlanta. Like I remember, I think it was last year, a few years ago, when they're in the playoffs against Washington, and Wall was having a ball on him. But you as much as Wall was dominating,
he competed.
He competed. You know, for a guy that young, I wasn't, you know, I like that. I like that about him. My sixth man of the year so far is Derrick Rose for all the reasons I mentioned above. But the other thing I'll add is, considering how he's playing, Jan, he's probably the best bargain in the league right now. He's only making, what, $2 million?
Without a shadow of a doubt. Yeah. He got the league minimum, no?
Yeah, he's making like $2 million.
He'll get a bump up to $10 million.
Yeah, as long as he can show that he can stay healthy, I think he. I don't know if anybody's going to give him a long term contract. It'll probably be like
a 2 year.
Yeah, like it'll be like, or like a DeAndre Jordan contract where you're giving him like a lump sum, like 1 year, or a JJ Redick contract where you're giving him like $14-15 million for a season.
And
just keep seeing how he keeps maintaining his health. But but like, again, like $2 million, you're getting 18 points. A lot of times he's your closer and he's the best player on the T-Wolves a lot of nights. I mean, you can't argue with that, man. You really can't.
No, you can't.
All right, so defensive player of the year, who you got?
I have a toss-up between Rudy Gobert and Anthony Davis.
Okay.
I think Rudy Gobert, his impact, it's funny, when he's not on the floor for Utah, their defensive rating goes down. It's like plummets, like the Dow Jones back in the day. Like, it's bad.
It's like, Black Monday? Is that what they
Black Monday, whatever you call it, at the stock exchange there. Listen, like, what he does defensively, rebounding, blocking shots at the rim, it's like he gets dunked out, he gets caught here and there, but man, oh man, you gotta love the desire to try to get every rebound and every block shot.
Mm-hmm.
He erases all the mistakes that the perimeter guard can't handle. Anyone coming to the paint. Same thing with Anthony Davis. But what impresses me more with him is that he's still scoring.
Oh, man.
Putting up massive points, steals and rebounds, and getting the block shot. So, impressed with him as well. So that's why I was kind of split between those two.
Yeah, my guy was Anthony Davis, actually.
We're on the same wave.
We're cheating off each other's papers so far.
Pretty much.
But it's funny. I'd also throw Embiid in there as well as somebody that can kind of contend for that as well.
Yes, he was up there, but I put him honorable mention, a close honorable mention.
Yeah, yeah. Like he's close in that category too. Like
when I see games of what he did against Toronto, like against the elite, he struggled.
Yeah,
like you know, so it's like I still have to question it.
You know what it is though. He's young enough where he's such a superstar, but he's also young enough where like if his game is not rolling offensively, it could kind of take him out a little bit out of sorts defensively too. Because I watched that game when they played Memphis. The two times they played Memphis this season, Gasol's taking him out of his game. If you look at the stats, like he did not have good games against Gasol at all. And defensively, like even though he rebounded a lot and stuff, it kind of changed the way he played a bit, especially because guys like Gasol take him out of the perimeter. He shoots threes. He facilitates the offense too. So, but it's like when he's getting his buckets, man, just he's a nightmare defensively. Like, I think it kind of feeds into everything where he's got to get to the point where even if he's not rolling offensively, he's still a monster defensively. You know, that's what the great players do. So, and he's still young.
He's still young. I just think he needs to post up a little bit more.
Yeah.
Take a little couple, two or three less 3-point shots and just attack the basket and get to the foul line because no one could really stay in front of him. He's too agile for the powerhouse big. He's too tall for the smaller forward to try guard him. And he can always get a shot off. And to keep the defense at its on his heels, got to keep attacking them. And by bailing them out by taking threes, it doesn't help the Philadelphia.
No.
If a player like that could get you in the bonus within the first 5 minutes of the game, get that guy attacking the basket. Should be taking anywhere between 8 to 10 free throws a game.
Yeah, and then to me, that's why sometimes it drives me crazy when I'm watching games and it's like a 3-point contest. Like especially with him, I don't mind him shooting here and there. No, he can hit it. He can hit it, but again, he Because, you know, and I guess that's the old school in me. I know the game is changing where, you know, the three obviously has always been worth more than two. But everybody's that's like the biggest focus. But I don't care, Jan, what anybody says. To me, the most important part of basketball is the paint. And the reason why I say that is it's not necessarily like because you have to have a big man planted in, you know, on the post. But as a, you know, as a creator, you still got to break the defense. Well, you break the defense down once you can get into the paint. And everything happens there. But like somebody like when you have somebody special like Embiid now, who's a big man that can put multiple people, as you mentioned, in foul trouble, it changes the game. Like it changes the way the opposition have to defend you. You know what I mean? Like they're not now they're putting out lesser players on the floor to rack up fouls. And, you know, it changes everything, man. It changes everything. When you see certain games where, you know, you're shooting 5 threes, like it's funny. I used to have this argument back in the day with a couple of friends of mine about Shaq when Shaq was like really dominating, especially when he was in Orlando. And them guys used to get mad because they used to be like, yo, yeah, I know Shaq is huge, but yo, Shaq can't hit a mid range. And you're like, why the fuck do you want Shaq to shoot a mid range shot? You know, Shaq is Shaq. He's a monster. You know what I mean? Like, why would you want him to shoot a mid-range shot?
Yeah, I know.
And I'm like, and if you're like guarding Shaq and Shaq takes a mid-range jumper, you know what you're telling Shaq? Thank you. And I feel like that's what the friends do with Embiid. When every time Embiid takes
a mid-range,
they're like, oh, thank God. Thank you.
But when they played Boston, I watched him struggle against Bane.
Yeah.
Like, wow. Like, he tries to power Bane's down, and he doesn't have that strength because Baines is just a brute at Boston.
Yeah.
He tries to finesse his way, and then he's missing like short arming shots. And then, you know, he's frustrated because now he's taking all these threes. Yeah. I was just like, oh my goodness. I think Philly's a good team, but their offense is rudimentary. It's really simple, and I don't think they're going to do well because they got Jimmy Butler there. He's going to ball out. He's a great he's a great addition to what they have. But in the playoffs, they're going to get exposed.
But I still say I agree with you with that because I feel like, don't you feel like, especially when they start their offense off, they run almost like a figure eight on the top of the three-point line until they start getting into their offense? I always find that weird. I'm like, why do they do that? There's got to be an easier way to do this.
They won't contend for a championship until Ben Simmons can hit a foul line jump shot with consistency.
You stole
not
the
a three pointer, just a mid range jumper.
You stole the words out of my mouth. You
unacceptable
bastard.
As a pro. How this kid went through the American system, played for his national team, and not have a jump shot. That's unacceptable. It's unacceptable. Unacceptable. That is so bad. How do you? Who, like, even his coach? And college, you did not have practices where you had this guy taking jumpers. It will help your team.
Well, I mean, Jan, I mean, he missed a year. Like in that year, I know you can't take jumpers. You had a broken foot, but I mean, you have facilities. Like,
okay,
you can work on your
last
shots,
year.
You can work on your shots.
Last year,
though.
How Boston exposed them in that semifinal. They played off of him. They went under on the screen.
Yeah.
He didn't want to take that shot.
They try to make him a scorer.
Yeah. Right? He has to be able to take those shots with ease without thinking about it. And I'm thinking, how you finished off the season? Who is your personal trainer? How are you not taking 1,000 jumpers a day?
Well, I'll tell you this one, Jan. This is why, even with Butler coming there, this is why I don't, as much as I love Philadelphia, this is why I don't put them as a championship contender yet. Like, once it clicks for Simmons, like, look out. The league is a wrap. But I agree with you. Until he gets that jumper. And I'll take it a step further. To me, this trade with Butler, I think it's a good move, obviously, for them. They're getting a third star that they needed. The problem is, people underestimate Butler in the playoffs. Butler hasn't always been the greatest playoff performer either, right?
Okay.
So you got that factor, number one. And then when you have somebody like Simmons who, you know, until he improves his jumper, like if they meet Toronto in the playoffs, he's going to get hella exposed. And if it's a situation where they're not only going under the screen, but they're taking away his sight lines, and he can't make those passes, and they're making him a scorer. We watched somebody like Butler act a fool when his team isn't playing right for the last 3-4 years, 5 years. Well, maybe not 5 years, but the last 3-4 years. Mm-hmm. How do you think he's going to handle that situation? Like, he may not say nothing now because he's in his contract here. He hasn't gotten paid yet. But once he gets that contract, how is that, if that situation doesn't improve soon in terms of him that hitting that jumper, that shit is not going to go down well, Jan. Just remember I said that. I do not think it's going to go down well.
Yeah, I know.
So all this talk right now about like hoping, the team plays hard,
we'll see.
We'll
see how things unfold. But your hope, man, oh man, this guy should be working on that jump shot.
Absolutely.
Oh my goodness.
Absolutely.
Oh my goodness. Like, that's so disrespectful. They're just daring this guy to shoot it, and he won't even shoot it.
He won't even shoot it. He won't even shoot it. Not even a jumper from the free throw line.
That's such a mind, like, psychological hit. So he's having a battle within a battle within a battle during the game. You know what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm.
So I don't know, man.
And then there's the whole Fultz situation, but we'll get into that a little bit later.
Yeah.
Most improved. Who do you got for most improved?
Most improved I had. Who do I have again? I picked Pascal Siakam for that one.
Oh, for real? Okay.
Yeah.
So you got him for, what did we have him for again? Your best, most surprising player and most improved?
He was my most surprising player and then most improved.
Okay. My most improved is Shaquille O'Neal's favorite player, JaVale McGee. I think most of it is just him getting reps, but I think he's made the most of his opportunities. He's actually playing pretty well this season, man. And he's actually been a factor in their season. He reminds me, it kind of sometimes you go watch YouTube clips and you start going down a bit of a rabbit hole a little bit with certain clips. Mm-hmm. I got reminded of the whole story beef with him and Shaq, and I'm not gonna rehash it, but I just thought the way Shaq handled that whole situation was deplorable.
It was.
Like I thought it was beneath him.
He was bullying.
It was stupid.
Okay, I'll say this much: JaVale McGee did not help himself those years.
Oh, he deserved it. He deserved it in the beginning.
He was doing some stupid. Sorry, I'm not gonna swear. He was doing some stupid stuff, man, and I was just like, wow. He's improved. He showed some immaturity, but my only thing with him, like, I noticed he's balling out of this world right now.
It's early.
But he doesn't finish games.
Yeah, that's true. Right?
Especially when Tyson Chandler's there, he doesn't finish games. He is one of those guys, he'll give you a good, hard 5 minutes. And then when he starts getting winded and tired, that's when the mistakes kick in. So he's learned to limit his mistakes because he's in better shape. But he makes the silliest fouls. Oh, my goodness. Jumping over the back, trying to get a rebound, offensive rebound. He has no business. I understand the hustle. I get it. He's hustling. He's going hard. But sometimes there's certain fouls you don't need to get to help get a person into the other opposing team into the bonus.
Foul trouble,
so they're shooting free throws for another 7 minutes. He does it all the time. And it's just like, okay, come on, dude. Show that you're learning from your mistake.
Yeah.
Show a little bit more discipline and patience.
I can agree with
that. That's my only beef with him on that. Mm-hmm. Other than that, he's amazing. I could understand that pick.
You know, sometimes it's about maturity and getting your reps. Although I totally agree, he has to tighten up on certain things. But the fact that he's gotten the opportunity to make the most of it, and playing under the pressure of playing with LeBron James, not the easiest thing in the world.
No, not at all. But if it was tackled the right way, it could benefit him. And look what he's doing. He's averaging what? I don't even know what he's averaging. I know he's in double digits, and he's blocking shots.
Yeah.
He's doing a lot.
Yeah.
No doubt.
And my honorable mentions for this category was two Kings players. It was Buddy Hield and Willie Cauley-Stein.
For real, eh?
I think Willie Cauley-Stein he's blown my mind this season too. He's been playing really, really well. I never really liked this game at all. Even though I know he's
supposed to be Tyson Chandler 2.0.
Yeah, and I used to see it and be like, I don't know. Yeah, but he's impressed me, man. He's been playing really well. I gotta give him props.
He's got some years behind him, so he knows his game. He's comfortable in the situation there, and he knows his spot. Totally. He plays. You know, he's gonna play 110% on defense.
Totally agree. Right. Totally agree.
And Durant, yeah. Sorry, go ahead. You said Buddy Heed, whatever his name is.
Buddy Hield, yeah.
Buddy Hield, sorry.
Yeah. Yeah, honorable mention.
Yeah, okay, fair enough.
Well this season.
Fair enough.
Take it away for Rookie of the Year, Jen. I know what you want to say. Go ahead.
I would say Luka Doncic. What are you going to say?
No. I know that's what you're going to say. I know you're going to say Luka Doncic.
No, I've been impressed with that. I was in the barbershop a couple of weeks back, and they were comparing Trae Young to him. And I said, guys, it's no comparison. It's no comparison. I go, this young man has been playing pro ball at a high elite level since he was 16 years old.
Mm-hmm.
All right?
Huge
he got
difference.
Player of the year for European basketball last year at age 19. He's going to come into the NBA. Only thing is the NBA has the most has the best athletes.
Right.
So it's going to be a more athletic game and more physical players. Right? But his game will be, out of all the rookies, his game will transition effortlessly. His field goal percentage will be good. His free throws, his 3 points, his assists, his stats across the board. Trae Young's stats are inflated because he has to jack.
Yeah.
To put up numbers. All right?
Mm-hmm.
Sorry.
No, I was just going to say... just looking at the stats here, he's averaging 18.5 points, 6.5 rebounds, four assists. He's shooting 44 from the field, 38 from three, 79 from the charity stripe. Like,
yeah.
He's been able to assimilate himself really well so far, and
he's fit into that mold as a two guard. But they got two point guards pretty much because he's a playmaker. He's a point guard. He's a tall point guard, and he's deceptively quick and elusive. Very smart.
Mm-hmm.
He's got different shots. And it's funny. He loves to step back either direction, off the left or right foot, people still don't get it.
Love it. It's hard to stop. Once you can master that, the step back, it's a hard move to stop, though. Because it's playing against your momentum, right?
Yeah, yeah.
It's hard to stop when you can master
You're creating the distance to get the shot up. You're getting a clear look. And it's all legs.
Yeah,
That
last one he had against Portland was like, oof. Like,
and that was crunch time.
Oh, beautiful.
And, but he was, like, once again, he was in his element. Why? Because he's gone through so many playoffs and big games in his whole career at a high level that this is just another one to add to the list.
Yeah, I agree. And, I mean, he's not even legal to drink yet.
Yeah, exactly. I know. His mom's hot, though. I'm that guy. I had to say it. That's my rookie of the year.
That's my rookie of the year, too.
Okay.
The same thing that I you know, we were saying about Gilgeous Alexander.
It's not even close.
No.
It's not even close.
No. And it's a good rookie class this year, too. It's a pretty good rookie class.
It is a solid rookie class, but it's not even close.
And you know what? The same thing that we were saying about Gilgeous Alexander is the same thing I'll put on his name here, is just the fact that the game, you can see it's slowing down for him, and like you can't change him off his pace. Like, he gets to where he wants to go. It's not the other way around. Like, the defenses, even from the game one, like, defenses aren't making him, they're not speeding him up to make moves that's out of his element, you know? His basketball moves, or his decisions, I should say. All the decisions he makes is because he's dictating that. And he's going at his pace. Like, he's, whether it's fast, whether it's slow, like, he's going at his pace. And that's, like, again, it sounds simple to do, but it's a lot harder to do, you know, like, to execute that, especially on a level like the NBA. But to be able to do that, you know, basically, like, they're running the offense through him at 19.
It's
really impressive to see. You know,
it's like, funny because he looks more poised than the point guard there.
Dennis Smith. Yeah.
And Dennis Smith is in his second year.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? But you see the level of experience. It's just like you cannot discount that. Like, I'm telling you, these European players are taking spots away from these All-Americans growing up through the American AAU system because these kids, They're not getting well coached. They're not learning the fundamentals of the game, and they're just coming in writing off their athleticism, right?
Mm-hmm.
And it can only take you so far when you come up against the best of the best. You need skill sets and fundamentals to back up your game.
Basketball IQ.
Right? Yeah, as well as basketball IQ.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm.
So that's what you're seeing here. So this kid has come in. He's balling. Now, if he can stay healthy, that's all it is. But I know he has some groin problems of late.
Mm-hmm.
So there, it's once again the rigors of the NBA, right?
Now, I'll say this, though. Like, I think DeAndre Ayton's going to be a problem. But
not this year.
No. But what I was going to say is just not having a and we talked about this offline, not having a point guard is going to stunt his growth somewhat. Like, to give you an example, that I watched the second half of when they played Boston a few weeks back. It was in Phoenix, and they were up like 17, 18 points, and Boston came back and won, and Kyrie in that game.
Mm-hmm.
But the biggest takeaway I had from that is that they basically just ignored Ayton for like chunks of the game at the time
game,
in the second half. Like it was disgusting, especially when
and he's such a big body. He's nimble on his feet.
And he knows how to use his moves. He knows how to use his body. He's got a nice touch. He's got great feet. Like every time he got the ball, Jan, he did something with it. When I say they ignored him, like they totally ignored him for especially like the close to the fourth quarter overtime. It was almost like they're playing 4-on-5.
Mm-hmm.
You know,
mm-hmm.
and that's the problem right there. Like, they need a point guard where I'm not saying they got to spoon feed him, but like a real.
You got to give him his touches. You got to give him his touches.
Like,
he'll help you.
Yeah, like, say,
you know, play defense and run the floor for you.
And I always used Rondo as like a default, but like somebody like a Rondo, like for like on a team like this would be like, hey, you know what? We haven't given Ayton this ball in the last 5 minutes. Let's feed him the ball. Let's get him a couple of touches. Let's let them know that, you know, we do recognize them on this floor. You know what I mean? Like they're missing a guard. Like I like the fact that they're trying to make Booker that point guard, but that's more out of necessity. You know what I mean?
I don't think
his game is truly meant to be a point guard. Like Harden.
No, he's not.
Like Harden, like the difference with Harden, you know, like when Harden was in that stage, Harden is, you know, even OKC, Harden was a passer. Like Harden has the gene to pass, you know what I mean?
But if you look at him, look at the injuries that he's accumulating on his body. He's doing way too much.
Yeah.
He's doing way too much. His body can't handle it. It's just way too much of a workload for him to score, facilitate, play defense. Nah.
Yeah.
Right?
And he's not built that way.
And he's jacking. And this kid is going to be something special. But he's jacking.
Yeah. And in that process, like I said, he's forgetting about Ayton. And I can't blame him because he's not a point guard. He shouldn't be doing that anyway.
Like
I think that's another, you know, I should have had them on my train wreck team. I don't know why I didn't. But that's another situation too where they've just been deplorable as well the last few years. But not having a point guard and has been like I don't understand what they're doing. And then on top of that, the one point guard they did have, they cut him.
Yeah.
Like they cut Kaden. It makes no sense.
Yeah,
it makes no sense what they're doing right now. Like
They traded away Brandon Knight. Was it Houston? Yeah, he hasn't played yet. He hasn't come back yet. He's still injured, I think.
Yeah, like I don't understand what they're doing at all. Like I really don't. Let's move this along a little quicker though. But MVP, who's your MVP so far in the first trimester of the season?
I don't have one. I have a few.
Oh, okay, all right.
I have Giannis, Kawhi.
Mm-hmm.
Curry and LeBron are my candidates thus far.
Oh, you got Curry. Okay.
Yeah. I think the injuries obviously hurt him, but when he was been playing, if he could stay healthy, I think he'll be definitely a contender for it. But his health, I wish the best for the guy, but he's injury prone, especially of late. I don't see him just on default by injury. I don't see him being eligible to get the MVP award this year.
Yeah, I think he's missed too many games so far.
Yeah. He's balling out. Well, just in the two games he's been back. Like some guys take a couple games to get the rhythm. This guy came back as if he didn't leave.
He had 42 the other night against Atlanta.
Yeah. He had 30 the other night on his debut against Detroit.
And it's funny, like it's something I'd mentioned at the end of our the Western Conference preview podcast where I was saying like bold prediction. I don't even know if you want to call it a bold prediction, but I was saying that Steph is going to be more of like the 2016 MVP changed the way the game is played, Steph, as opposed to what he's been the last couple of years. Mm-hmm. I just felt it. Like, I felt like at some point, like, you know, they gave, I'm not saying they gave Durant the mantle, but like you could see he kind of stepped back a little bit. Mm-hmm. And I felt like this series was going to go back. Yeah, no, no, for leadership. Sure. 100%. But I felt like, this series, like, okay, everybody's been acclimated. We've been winning chips now. You know, Durant's assimilated. Now it's time for me to be me again. And and you can see, like, it's, I know Durant's the most talented player because of his size and all the skill set that he has to go along with it. But I mean, you see it. Curry's their best player, man. He's the most important player. Like he's
they couldn't even win with DeRozan. With Durant scoring 51 points. There's nothing worse than dropping a boatload of points and losing. It's like for nothing.
Yeah.
You have the individual shine, but if a real competitor will rather the win than dropping 50 in a loss, there's nothing worse than that. There's nothing worse.
No, I agree. I agree.
Right? It just shows Curry's important. This guy dropped 50 and still lost. And they put up a valiant fight against the Raptors. Mm-hmm. But
I tell you what, though. If he didn't get hurt, I actually think he would be the MVP so far.
Right now?
So I agree. I agree with having him in
but
the category.
But hold on. LeBron's coming to his own now. He's comfortable.
Yeah.
He's comfortable in L.A. Yeah. He's very comfortable in L.A.
Yeah.
And that game last night against the Spurs was very impressive.
Yeah,
he said, okay, you know what, guys? I'm gonna take over. I'm going to bring you guys along for the ride. I'm going to spoon-feed you some shots. Make or miss, I got this. And he closed it out.
He's been playing well. But I just don't think they're going to win enough games for him to get it. I just we'll see how the season goes.
So?
I don't think the Lakers are going to win enough games for him to get MVP.
I think
other teams are playing too well. Other players are on better teams playing too well for him to get that for him to leap over those guys.
Okay, remember the trade deadline's coming, so something's gonna happen. Okay, one, two, they're getting better.
They are.
Yes, they haven't played the meat and potatoes of the league yet, but thus far is a good sign for what they have, considering that Rondo's out, Ingram sprained his ankle, mm-hmm. right. So, they're showing improvement. The future's bright. I'll say that much.
Mm-hmm.
And plus, with all that said, they're one game behind Golden State. Think about that. They're fifth right now.
But you know that gap.
I know.
Two game
losing streak will drop it out of the playoff spot. I understand.
Yeah.
I get that. But it's still impressive. Still got to be acknowledged. They're on a 4-game home winning streak right now. So.
Yeah,
we'll take the good with the bad.
We'll see.
nasty.
My MVP is Giannis so far. I think it's close with like Kim, Embiid, Kawhi. I think mm-hmm. Kawhi and Steph, just because, well, Kawhi hasn't missed as much games as Steph. The only reason why Kawhi's missing games is because he's sitting on the back to backs. But
yeah,
I think he's a strong contender for the MVP as well. But I think Giannis right now is just, you look at his stat line, I mean, it's just, it's, you know, 27.5 points, 13, 6 assists.
Listen,
you know, stealing
I know he dunks, like, I've seen this guy dunk on people.
Yeah, it's stupid.
Nothing.
It's
but
stupid.
When I saw him back down Blake Griffin and ross it upon his head top like that the other night, that impressed me. He dunked on him. Like as if he wasn't there.
I know.
And Blake Griffin is a mountain of a man.
I know. That was scary.
I was just like, he backed him down. First of all, he backed him down. Blake bounced off him. He went up. He's long. Yeah, he's long. He still dunked over him. Yeah. I was like, wow.
Yeah, that was impressive. I totally agree with that. That was disgusting.
He's only going to get better.
Yeah. What is he, 23? He's 23 years old?
He's 23, 24, yeah.
Jeez. The only thing missing is the jump shot now. Yeah, that's it.
Yeah.
That's it.
The three-point shot. He got the mid-range. He needs a three-point shot.
But unlike Simmons, he's not afraid to use it, at least to get a better rhythm. He just has to get a better rhythm. And I think he's been better since Budenholzer's gotten there. Like, he's an unbelievable watch. Like, he's must-see TV. I mean, he's been must-see TV every single night for the last few years. But I think this year especially, it's just been bananas.
Coming out party.
Yeah,
Yeah.
He's been cuckoo for Cocoa Puffs.
Yeah. I think last year we got teased by him last year, and now he got that experience behind him. Now he believes.
Yeah.
Right? So it'll be interesting to see how things go.
Like I think, again, he's kind of got the little bit of the Simmons thing where it's like, I think, depending on what team they meet in the playoffs, it's going to be interesting to see, because even though he's so hard to stop and he's a better scorer than the Simmons,
He's more complete now in his career.
But it's just the jumper thing. It's just, I'm wondering if that's going to catch up to him in the playoffs, you know?
He's taking them, and he's hitting at a higher clip than he's had in the past. So that's a start.
Yeah, can't argue with that.
So it's a start. So look at LeBron now compared to where he was at earlier in his career, right? It's a transition. It's a process.
Yeah, no, for sure. Okay, so let's move to our all NBA teams. I'll let you start with the second team. Who do you got for your second team? Two guards, two forwards, regardless of power forward, small forward position, and center.
Okay, I couldn't decide on my second team.
Okay.
I'm going to give you my first team.
Wait it!
Okay, go your second team. Do your second team. Go ahead.
No, I was going to say wing it, but I'll go my second team. Okay.
Do your second team.
I got Gasol as the center.
Second team. Okay.
Second team.
Okay.
All right. So I got Gasol as my center. I'm going to piss Jan off right now. He's going to come through the phone and strangle me when I say this. I got LeBron in the second team. Yeah, I said it. Yeah, I said it.
What?
I said it. Yeah, I said it, Jan. I said it. Second team. Let me finish. I got Kawhi in the second team. Only reason why I got Kawhi in the second team is just the amount of games he's missed. Nothing to do with his play. It's only because of the amount of games he's missed. And you'll know why when I get to the first team. I got Damian Lillard as my guard, and I can't believe I'm going to say this. And right now, I'm only saying this right now as of this recording, but it's going down like the Dow Jones on a bad day. My second guard on the second team would be DeRozan, but I think it's going down. It's definitely going down.
I'm going to give you exactly 5 seconds and a half to take back what you just said.
About DeRozan or LeBron? Yeah.
Both. I wouldn't put DeRozan on there. I disagree with DeRozan, but I'll let you finish.
This is not my first team. This is my second team. This is my second team. So
I don't think DeRozan's done enough.
I think
they're not winning.
And that's the part. That's the part. Actually, you know what? Sorry. Let's take him out, because I don't want to have him in there. Okay. To be honest with you, we're gonna go with the two guard system. So regardless of shooting guard, point guard, I'll put Lowry in there. I replace him with that, because I think Lowry's been the best point guard in the East so far this season. So I'll put Lowry in there.
Okay, I agree with that. Okay.
I'll be honest with you, Jan. I almost put Lowry on my first team. That's how much I've loved watching him this season. But you'll know why when I pick my second team. My first team. But we'll take out DeRozan, because up until about a week or so ago, I had DeRozan on my second team. But we'll take him out. We'll put Lowry in there, because Lowry's been, like I said, the best point guard in the East so far. I don't know if he's going to finish up that way, but
yeah, I know.
First trimester, that's where he is so far to me.
Okay. As of right now in games, I'm going to put Curry on my second team because of the games missed.
Okay. And let me interject in there. Curry's not on my first or second team only because of injuries. Nothing to do with what he's done on the court.
That makes sense. That's
the only reason why. That's the only reason why I don't have him on my first or second team. That's the only reason why. Nothing to do with anything else.
I'm going to mess you up, okay? Mm-hmm. I'm going to put Curry. I'm going to put Larry. I'm going to put Anthony Davis, Gasol, and I'm baiting on that I'm on the cusp of what's his name there? Tobias Harris.
Tobias Harris?
Yeah.
And you getting on Bebo, LeBron being on Tobias Harris?
Yeah, I'll put him on there. He's been balling, man.
So who's your second team again? Run it back one more time.
Larry, Anthony, Gasol, Curry, and Tobias Harris. That's my X factor right there.
Well, based on their record, I guess you have to have a Clipper there.
I'll put Tobias Harris over DeRozan.
Okay, no, that's you know, yeah, that's fair. Fine.
This guy was having a heart attack. Tobias Harris.
Tobias Harris. So sure. Okay. Sure. We'll run with that.
Okay.
You know what? And since you're on a roll, Tobias Harris. Let's go with your first team. Who you got for your first team?
Okay. I got. Wait a minute. I took Curry off my first team because I realized he hasn't played too many games. So I have Durant, Giannis, Kawhi, LeBron.
Say it.
Embiid,
okay. Run it back one more time. It's Embiid.
LeBron, Kawhi, Giannis, Durant, and Embiid.
Where's the guards?
LeBron and Kawhi.
Oh, are you cheating now, man? You put LeBron as a guard? Oh, my God.
Well, hello. You cheating. Hello.
Oh, you cheating, Jan. You cheat. You know that boy's been a four in his whole life.
Hey, man.
Well, I know the man, offense runs to him,
man,
whatever.
Man, when it's all said and done, he's going to be in the top five in every statistical category.
Okay. That's fair enough. Fair enough. Still ain't a guard, though, but fair enough. Fair enough. You want to hear who my list is?
Yeah, go ahead, man.
And yeah, I'm gonna
hold on. Let me go get my bucket right by my bed. Let me get my bucket right beside me so I have something to throw up into.
Get a dirty bucket so you don't have to clean it. Just you know what I mean? Get a dirty bucket. You have the lid? You got a lid for it? You
want? I'm ready.
Okay. All right. So before I'll explain to that. I'll explain the player I'm going to leave off after. Because I think the forward position is friggin' stacked right now, and it's you're gonna leave somebody off your first or second team. We're not doing a third team. But here's my list so far. So Embiid is my center, first team trimester center. I got Giannis, who I have picked as the MVP. I have Anthony Davis as my other forward. I have, no, who was my guards? Oh, man. I have Kemba Walker as one of my guards. You heard me. I have Kemba Walker as my first team guard. Have you been watching what this guy's been doing this season? Contract year, excuse me. Excuse me, hold on. Hold on a second. Contract year. Sorry, it's freaking cold, man. This guy's been playing well, man. The record doesn't support it. Obviously, we know that he's 11-13 so far as of this.
He'll contend for 13, man.
He's gonna be on one of the three All NBA teams. Like again, he's a solid player. I'm gonna say 20% of that has to do with the fact that he's in his contract year, but. I mean, the guys, what is the average?
He has heart. He's a throwback to like Allen Iverson.
Yeah. Oh,
the grit. And he's just a little guy.
But he's efficient, though, Jen. He's efficient.
He's very efficient.
He's efficient. I can't believe I'm going to reward him here. But I, you know what? I was looking more for a two guard in this sense. And I wasn't going to cheat like you. And I was going to put LeBron as a two guard.
Man.
But I got James Harden, man. Hold on. Is this thing on? Hello?
Yeah, man. Sorry. But he's been injured too, so that's why I didn't consider him. Like, I would have. Like, yeah, I would.
It's tough
would,
so far.
You know what?
It's I would a tough list to do off, so far.
Yeah, I would bump off Harris to put Harden in my on my second team.
Second team?
Yeah.
And who would you, and still you're gonna make LeBron the two guard, right? That's what you're gonna do here?
Yeah, without a doubt.
What is your beef with Kemba?
I don't have a beef with Kemba. I just don't think my thing about being an MVP candidate is what can you do to help your team win?
Right.
And I do believe he's a big part of their offense, but with him doing he scored 50 the other day. And he still
60.
He lost.
I know. 60.
60, sorry. And he lost.
I know.
Right?
I know. Scored more than half the team's points.
Yeah. Right? And it wasn't like, I don't know, man. I think he's a hell of a player. When I think of him, I always think about that crossover in the tournament on the championship run where he did a step back on what's that guy's name? That big man. And he did a step back for a game winner. And the guy fell.
Yeah.
It was so embarrassing. But hell of a player. Heart of, like, big heart. But it's not conducive for wins.
Yeah, unfortunately. And that's the problem with Charlotte. But he's been playing, honestly, he's been playing so well.
Yeah, he's been playing well.
He's been playing so well that I actually give him the nod on the first team over Lowry, even though I think Lowry's been the better point guard. I just think he's just been a better, as far as the East so far, he's been a better guard. Obviously, again, you know, we keep using the reminder that it's the first trimester, so guys like Kyrie Irving are, you know, obviously they're going to stake their claim before the season's over.
Yeah,
if you notice, yeah. I left Durant off both of my lists.
Yeah, I know that.
And again, but that's to tell you how friggin' tough the friggin' that position is, man. Like, the forward position is tough as hell.
Yeah, but not even second team?
Well, my second team... Sorry, well, I had LeBron and Kawhi.
Oh, man.
I had LeBron and Kawhi, Giannis and Anthony Davis. Who do I knock off? Who?
Kemba Walker, buddy.
No. I'm forwards. I'm not cheating. Forwards. I'm talking about forwards.
Oh,
who do you
man.
Knock off?
I'm going for the best.
Yeah, but that's an easy list. This is why this list is hard. But to me, I'm like forward wise, who do you knock off? Who do you knock off? Tell me.
Who's your forwards again? Who's your forward?
Giannis and Anthony Davis are my forwards on the first team. LeBron and Kawhi is my forwards on the second team.
Man. Well, yes, man. I'll give you some time to rearrange your list and get LeBron in the first team.
Okay.
And then whatever you do after that, I'll be okay with.
No problem. I'll knock LeBron off the second team. Put thing in there. Let's go. All right.
What? Guys, stop the knife, man.
So, all right. So my final, my list so far, Gasol, LeBron, Kawhi, Lillard and Lowry as my second team so far. And my first team is Embiid, Giannis, Anthony Davis, Kemba, and Harden. Those are my guys so far. The first trimester.
Okay.
I'm sure this list is going to look completely different by the second trimester.
Yeah, definitely.
It's going to look different for sure. But that's who I got so far. And you know, like I said, I think Curry's going to have something to say about that. But yeah, but
well, sorry, just to remind you again, I'm second team is Lowry, Anthony, Gasol, Curry. And I bumped off Harris and put Harden.
Okay.
Okay? And I have my first team, LeBron, Embiid, Kawhi, Giannis, and Durant.
You're just cheating. There's no guards on that list, Jan.
I got the ultimate point guard in LeBron, James.
Whatever.
Thanks for coming up.
They would NBA would take away your vote if you were voting.
They'll keep him in. He's the most important person in the game right now. Thank you.
Now, to wrap up, we're gonna go through this really quickly here, but we got our train wreck section because you know there can't be an NBA season without a couple of train wreck teams, whether it's a playoff team or a disastrous non-playoff team, lottery team, or potential lottery team. I made the mistake because I really should have put Phoenix on here, and I'm disappointed in myself. But I'll let you go with you can rank your top three and go. You know, go ahead and wrap up.
My train wreck number three. Boston.
Oh wow! Okay.
Yeah, I think the start that they had was bad. Players, you could tell players haven't totally bought into their roles yet. I do think they'll be better, but as of right now, with a 13-10 record, that's huge, huge underachieving team. Some of the losses that they had was just downright not good. Mm-hmm. I do know Brad Stevens is a hell of a coach. I'm a believer of his style of coaching. I know he'll right the ship, but I'm just disappointed in that whole group. Considering that they were contenders or heading into the season, they were seen as the only team that could compete with Golden State. To seeing them as a sixth seed right now is unacceptable.
What can I just add one thing before you continue?
Sure.
Just real quick, I had Boston as my number one team, and you know when we did our Eastern Conference preview, we had Boston as the number one in seed in the East. But the one thing I was hesitant about when it came to them was because you know with Gordon Hayward and Kyrie Irving missing the playoffs, you had guys that weren't normally in those starring roles take that mantle last year, and it's like. It's like, you know what it's like? It's like being used to eating filet mignon for a few months, and now you're going back to eating spaghetti. It's just not the same. You know what I mean?
Like, it's not enjoyable.
After you know what you had, how do you go back? You know what I mean? It's like...
Yeah, but if you know you could contend for an NBA championship, you will do what's best for the greater good of the team because it's about winning.
Yes, Jen.
The individual stuff will come after the championships, but if you get that, not everyone, I think it's like a small percentile that get championships their whole career.
I
some
agree.
Some more than others. Some squeeze out one late in their career. If you could get it early, it makes a big difference. So I just feel that guys haven't fully bought into their roles yet. I do believe they'll be a contender, but they beat Toronto and they weren't flying on all cylinders. So that says something. I still think that there's a lot of games for them to be played to find their rhythm.
I agree with your championship viewpoint with a veteran team. Tell that to younger players who are trying to get a contract and get
True.
On.
They don't
think that way. But go on. Sorry, I don't mean to stop your list. Go ahead.
I had Houston at number two.
Okay.
I think the Carmelo Anthony train wreck was quite evident. He just can't buy into a team concept. His ego is just beyond his. He's just not in reality.
But do you blame him for their start though?
No, I don't blame him. Okay. I do. He's a part of it, but he gets a small part of the blame.
Okay.
Not all of it.
Okay.
Not a huge part of it.
Fair enough.
Yeah. They just underachieved. They're not playing defense. They don't have the. I don't understand that they didn't pay the money for Ariza. Take that hit. Let Mabute go. But get Ariza. He was your glue guy, both on and off the court. You needed a guy to cover the Durant and the LeBron that's going to compete against those guys. You know?
Mm-hmm.
And then, you know, Harden, he doesn't play no defense. I'm not a big fan of his game. Offensively, he's amazing. But defensively, it's just not good enough. Chris Paul is injury prone. He's like, once again, he's in and out of the lineup. He hasn't played a good string of games yet, right? So I'm very disappointed considering that they are one game from the NBA Finals to where they are now. They took more than two steps back.
And who's your number one train wreck squad?
Washington. I know they've been winning of late, but it's not going to last. Like things are going well. They're obviously making a conscious effort to get things going back on the court. But there's looming trade rumors going on every day. So it's only a matter of time before someone moves them. This is a team that should be a contender. One of the top four or five teams in the Eastern Conference. And they're falling way short of that. I know they're ninth, but it's just like they're way below where they should be.
Mm-hmm.
And it's just disappointing. I'm just more disappointed that these guys couldn't get it together.
Yeah,
you know.
I got something to
now,
say.
Now Paul
about Washington.
Pierce here, they look like the future was bright for them. Mm-hmm. Paul Pierce leaves. You can tell that leadership, mentorship in the locker room was gone, and these guys just were just running wild.
Here's another question I'll ask you about this. Are you a hacker? Are you hacking into my tablet right now?
What are you talking about?
You stole my Washington points, man.
What?
What the hell's going on here, man, Chad? Did you are you hacking me?
No, man. Not at all, man. Not at all, man. I just see the game through my lens, man. That's
yes,
it.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir. I know.
I report what I see. So who's your three?
He was my three. Yeah, I guess we could have gone a bunch of different ways. I really should add Felix on this list. And I'm actually mad at myself about that. My list is a little different than yours. Number three for me was Minnesota. Because just, I know their biggest issue is gone with Butler, but I just, you know, as I mentioned before, I just think having him basically destroy their franchise from within, like, it just has me looking at them sideways. I think the way they just handled their entire matter, just they made him look like a third-rate franchise. And, I think Towns and Wiggins is still a good combo, but Butler just exposed him in ways that, like,
it kind of
devalued the two of them.
It's going to take time. It's going to take time to heal those wounds.
Yeah, and even though they've been playing better, though, so I give them credit as well. They've been playing better, and it looks like Towns is trying to be a quiet leader, you know, trying to lead in his own way, which is good. It doesn't, there's different ways to lead. It's not only, like, you know, like, yelling and screaming and, that, you know, that's not. There's different ways to lead. Like everybody has a different way. You got to do it the best way that you know how, and make sure people relate to you when it comes to that. So, but with that said, they made the playoffs for the first time in 14 years, and they took a big step backwards in less than a few months.
Yeah.
So I'm disappointed with them with that. Number two I had was Cleveland. I just honestly I didn't understand the direction. You build a team around LeBron James, and now he's gone. It's going to take time to adjust, you know? Yeah. Like, you basically haven't had your best player playing the whole season with Kevin Love.
Yeah, and, does that surprise you, though?
He's always been injured.
You can't count on that guy.
Yeah, and that's why
the guy puts up mad numbers, and he's never been able to actually accept that All-Star nod to play in the All-Star game. He's always been injured.
He's always been hurt.
Around the All-Star break, always.
Yeah, he's always been hurt, and so I'm not totally surprised, and this is why we kind of had them low, but it's just, to me, I'm just kind of like, what were you expecting? Like, you knew, like, again, this is going to take some time to, if you're going to, like, get rid of your coach before Halloween, if you're going to pull the plug that fast on your worst case scenario, because, I mean, we know Kevin Love is injury prone, but I don't think they anticipated him getting hurt that early in the season. But if that was going to be the case, then just blow it up in the summertime. Like, why wait until the season starts? Like, I just thought that was stupid.
Then they signed Love to a massive contract.
I know.
But I think that's just a contract that will offload in a trade.
Yeah, they'll be able to move it. The one thing you learn about the NBA is pretty much, especially after Bargnani got traded, any contract is movable, man. how it goes. Yeah. Number one is, you know, I like I said, man, you stole off my term paper. It's Washington, man. But I'm not totally surprised with how the season's fallen, and a lot of it has to do with, I've always thought they've been a team full of front runners, and I think the biggest thing, Jan, to me is John Wall. Like John Wall's never been the greatest leader, and by next year he might have the worst contract for an All-Star.
Yeah,
because he's going to be making like $45 million a season basically next year.
Yeah,
which is like you can't do that, you know?
No, and putting up and taking and you're losing. Yeah, that's just not. Yeah, they can't get rid of him if they wanted to.
No.
So, there's a rumor out now saying that the rumor is Lonzo Ball for him.
Oh my God!
Straight. Jeez. Yeah, exactly.
God.
Gosh,
why would LA even want to do that? That's stupid.
I know.
That's stupid.
Yeah. I would rather Lonzo Ball because, like, there's so much pressure on winning now. It's about winning now.
Yeah, but you know.
They had a model. They talked a good part in the offseason. Yeah, it's going to be a year of change and transition. We want to make the playoffs. That's the goal. Now everyone's saying that these guys are a contender. With LeBron, the game changes.
I know.
All right? With that man, I would say... if they can win a first round, then anything can happen. especially with the injuries and so forth. But man, oh man, it's gonna be a tough road if they don't make a trade and just go with what they have.
Wes is a whole different animal, boy.
Yeah, I know.
Wes is a whole different animal, man. I just, I don't know. Like that. I mean, I didn't hear that one, but my God, that is a terrible. That is a terrible.
That'll be a terrible trade. Yeah.
Both teams should feel terrible about that.
That'll be a panic move. That'll be a panic move.
Hell yeah. Well, I mean, Washington will be happy because they get rid of that contract, but
it's, yeah, yeah.
But it's still a terrible move because I don't know what Lonzo Ball is gonna be yet. I mean, and don't get me wrong, I like him. I actually like his game, but it's that shot again, man. Like, it's just not, you know.
Oh, man. He's shooting better.
Yeah, he's shooting better. He's playing better, too. He's playing better, too.
Yeah, he's playing better, yeah.
He's playing better, too. I'll give him that. But, like, I just think, to me, the biggest thing is John Wall. Like, I think, like, I think the biggest part is, like, their best players demonstrate that he's not a leader. Like, they're the type of team that needs to have a vet, you know, in place to be that leader, and they don't have it. And since Paul Pierce left the team, they never replaced his leadership, which I think is terrible.
Yeah,
because he's been gone from the team for 3-4 years now. They haven't matured and learned enough.
Nothing
to get to that point. It's pathetic.
He wasn't there long enough to influence them.
Yeah, but
because they went back into their old natural ways.
Which I understand, but now they're like 27.
Yeah,
28.
Yeah,
like, you still haven't learned. Like, I think it's deplorable. And again, like, I know some people try to put Dwight Howard's vibes on this team, but I'm like, yo, he wasn't there. He has nothing to do with it. He has nothing to do with this. You know, they got enough talent to at least in the East. And as you said, I know they've been winning some games lately, but I just think, to me, like, John Wall is not shown signs of being a leader. You know what I mean? Especially from the point guard position.
He's not the guy we thought he was.
No.
Basically.
No.
And he has a lot of maturity issues. He's been coddled, and he's like acting like a spoiled brat now. He's acting out. And so it's funny. The game and life has a funny way of humbling you if you don't abide, by your ego. But it's weird. It's just a weird situation. They're just underachieving. We'll see how things pan out, especially if they keep things together or they make a trade.
Mm-hmm.
It'll be interesting.
And I'll tell you what, I hope that to bring up the whole karma thing. I wonder if somebody's going to call out his contract, like how he calls out everybody else's contract.
Exactly.
You know?
Exactly. Yeah.
Because he's definitely in that category just now. Just now.
Yeah.
He's going to be in that category.
For sure. That's why the pressure's on. He has to show out. The pressure's on them now. They got to show out.
Yeah.
It's like they're basically, I don't know about John Wall because his contract's hard to move, but everyone else is pretty much auditioning for that next team. That's what they're doing right now.
They got at least 5 free agents like going into next season too. So it's the whole situation
and
is
the
a
coach
mess.
And the coach sucks. God bless his heart, he sucks.
Yeah. Yeah, you're like a
no
coach.
Growth,
like,
no like, growth from OKC to there.
You're like the coach Grim Reaper.
Yeah, I know.
But you know what? You're right though. I've never been a big fan of Brooks either. He's a good coach, but he's not the coach that's going to take it to another level, and obviously he doesn't have the ear of John Wall either.
Exactly. Yeah.
If John Wall's throwing F bombs at him,
over you, good luck with that one.
Yep. If he's throwing F bombs at you at this point, you know, and you've had him for a couple of years now on your shelf, like to me, they just got to blow it up. I just think that their team is just a bunch of front runners. I've always thought that, and nothing's changed. Obviously,
they're not real.
Nope. He's all right, but he's not real. my final question before we wrap this podcast up, I have to ask this question because, quite frankly, I don't think I've asked you this question regarding the situation yet since the last time you were on. But what's your thoughts on Markel Fultz situation before we go?
I think it's unfortunate. It's obvious that this young man has lost his confidence. And he's trying to get it back. I don't know who they had working with him. How come this is getting assessed now? What were they doing all this time up until this point? I just think it was mishandled from top to bottom, from his agent, from the organization.
Mm-hmm.
This is just clearly right now you can tell that there's a huge disconnect, and I'm pray for the kid because he has a great opportunity to do some special things and obviously accomplish his dreams. But it's just so sad. But he seems like he's a tough kid. He's not going to give up. But, man, it's a tough start, man. Like, this is his second year, and he's already missing so much time.
I know.
I watched him do a free throw. It looked like he was juggling the ball before he shot it. I was just like, come on now. Is this a joke?
It's like hot potato.
Yeah.
It was like hot potato. It's funny. Like, I think they were my honorable mention, actually, as in terms of being a train wreck team. Nothing to do with the talent on the floor, how they're playing. It's just how they've handled this whole situation. Like, their physio training staff, they should be fired.
It's a joke.
Yeah, they've been misdiagnosing players for years, Jan.
Yeah.
What is that? Like, what is that about?
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like,
so that's once again, that's a trust issue, because you're supposed to have my best interest at heart, and you're not giving me the correct information.
And then he worked with
a guy all summer to fire the guy, the personal trainer, to fire him about a month ago. So it's just like, do you have the right people around you? Right?
Yeah.
Who's in your circle? Who's telling you? Like, you know what I mean? So he has a lot. Like, it's funny because everything happens for a reason, and it's the hardest thing is trying to figure out what it means to us individually, and it's where the personal growth and the reflection comes into play. And I hopefully he can get his head right so he can get a positive rehab and get this I can't pronounce the term, the diagnosis on his shoulder.
Yeah, I can't
hopefully
pronounce it
either. The nerve damage. Hopefully he gets that. They say it'll take 46 weeks.
Right.
Hopefully he gets that correct, and he can just resume his career.
Yeah. Because as you said, he's missing. He's like that student that's just been missing school for the last 6-7 months. It's like you got a lot of work to catch up on.
Yeah, exactly. The game will pass you by.
Yep. I'll tell you what though, and in the spirit of that, if I was him, I would try to leave the Sixers. And the thing is, I don't totally blame his agent for letting the public know before the team.
Know that, yeah.
You know,
yeah,
like they just took it right out of their hands.
Yeah, he did. Obviously, the relationship is damaged.
Yeah.
Right. So, obviously, a fresh start somewhere else would probably be the best thing. It'll be interesting to see what they're gonna do, because you know the organization's gonna do what's best for them. So they're gonna probably daggle him, but let him come back. Probably, hopefully, he'll be healed. He can show his potential. And they'll wait for the highest bidder.
Phoenix, are you listening?
yeah, I know.
But they're not totally, like, his side is not totally blameless in his side. Like, I know Philly's been working with him. I don't dispute that his confidence has been shot. But, like, I think it's shot because, more so because of the injury as opposed to just him showing.
Because he knows he's not right, and he's trying to force it, and it's not working.
That's what I said. Like, I think it's more to do with the fact that he's injured as opposed to him just showing up to training camp and then, you know, being, in the elaborate words of Albert Johnson, a shook one, right? It's just the weirdest thing to see. And, you know, like, again, and then on top of that, is the team and the city, are they going to allow him to get his rhythm back to work the kinks out? Mm-hmm. Especially now with Butler being there?
I don't know. If they don't see him as a long-term project, they'll probably just, once again, do what's best for the organization. Dangle him out there, get him out there. Don't wait and be patient in the process to get him back to being healthy, and then dangle him out there. It'll be his audition when he plays. He'll be auditioning for other teams like Phoenix and all that, and then trade him.
Yeah, and just the last point I'll add before we wrap this up. Like, I think is, you know, like, again, like, his shot, Jan, doesn't just look totally different from when he was in Washington. It looks totally different from Summer League, right? Like I'm not...
He's shooting five different shots in the last 5 months.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. Like I'm not saying the kid is going to be a superstar, because there was about 5 or 6 kids you could have had pick number one coming out of college.
Yeah.
But again, and I'm not totally sure I understood trading up for Tatum and giving away a pick for him. You know, like if that was the right thing to do. But if I'm them, because you did that, you got to massage the hell out of this situation and get as much value as you can from
this. Right, as you can out of it, yeah.
Yeah, because if I'm them, it's going to be one of the situations where it's like, unless he's begging to leave, he's got to go to the end of his rookie contract for me to see what he's worth. It's almost like Bruno on the Raptors, where he made it till his last year. Like, it's got to be like a situation like that, you know, before I give up on him.
He's in Houston right now.
Who, Bruno?
Yeah.
Well, I think, didn't he get released?
I'm not too sure.
Again, it's a sad situation, but I'm rooting for the kid though, you know, because
without a doubt,
because I don't think this is like a Kwame Brown situation.
Hopefully things will all get sorted out, and he'll get to a good situation where he can flourish and show his game, and it'll be a great learning moment. And it'll probably, like, sometimes the journey is much more gratifying once you accomplish your goals, because you go through the ups and downs and you learn about yourself and you grow from it. So I have my prayers for that kid.
Yeah, without a doubt. Brother, on that note, thank you so much, Jan, for coming on this podcast today, man, and just sharing your thoughts on the first trimester of this season, man. It's definitely been a pleasure.
No worries, man. I enjoy talking. I love the game. I enjoy talking about it, and it's good talking to someone who sees the game from the same wavelength than I do. So I definitely enjoy it. Thank you for having me back. I appreciate it.
Yeah, no, brother. No question. And before you go, I'll give you a couple of minutes to just tell about your team or whatever you want to talk about in terms of
I coach senior boys basketball team in Mississauga, TL Trinity. I got a good group of young men who work hard and believe in the philosophies I preach. And it's a pleasure. I got a good group of kids that do well in school and on the court. So it's a blessing. They listen to me. They work hard. We're currently 4-0 in our conference, and we're doing good things. So it's just one step at a time. I'm just trying to temper the egos right now and keep their eyes on the prize, because it's a bigger prize to end this season. So I'm just trying to teach them lessons and what pitfalls to avoid, because they're fleeing themselves because they're undefeated. Right. But it's a good thing as well. It's a good problem to have.
No, no doubt. And people, he's a Hoffa. Jazz a Hoffa.
Yeah, man. So, yeah, once again, my brother, I appreciate it, man. Thanks a lot for having me.
No doubt, no doubt. Thank you all for tuning in to the latest episode of the AF Podcast. I always appreciate the support. Special shout out goes out to Jan Michael Nation for coming on the Ave to break down the first third of this NBA season. It's much appreciated, brother. Even though our friendship almost became strained due to our differences during the All-NBA segment, but you know, it's all good. Differences of opinion is what makes this country great. South Shore Ave is available wherever you listen to your podcasts. To listen to and subscribe to all the podcast episodes under the South Shore Ave name, you can check us out on Apple Podcasts, Google Play, Stitcher, as well as Spotify. And to check out my entire catalog of podcast shows, make sure you subscribe to SouthShoreAv.com. Once again, that's SouthShoreAv.com. For Jan Michael Nation, this is Cal C. And you just tuned in to the Av Podcast on South Shore Ave Radio. Until the next podcast, folks. Peace. Oh, wait a minute. Make sure you check out the annual year-end wrap-up podcast, the MVPs of 2018, where we list our most valuable people of the year in sports, the culture, and everything else in between. Yeah, that one will be out at the end of the month between Christmas and New Year's. That's how we usually do it annually, so, you know, why stop that now? So please be on the lookout for that one. Okay, now we're gone. Peace.